I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today in the show, we are going to talk about America, socialism, and the French Revolution. America, socialism, and the French Revolution. Now, many people may be unaware of the fact that July 14th is Bastille Day. July 14th is Bastille Day, which is celebrated every year in France. Now, it's really not, from our perspective, especially from a Christian perspective and the perspective of Western civilization, Bastille Day is not a day that God-fearing Christian people should celebrate. It's not a day that people who love freedom should celebrate. It is grossly misrepresented by modern historians. Now, they celebrate Bastille Day in France. You can even find online Happy Bastille Day declarations and this kind of thing. And they portray it as this grand, glorious revolution. Many people will remember the musical Les Miserables. And Les Miserables, of course, portrays the revolutionaries in France as these very noble, romantic figures and this kind of thing. And all of that is, it's a lot of propaganda. There's no question that there is a kind of romance to the radical leftism movements that happen even today. I mean, if you study them long enough, yes, they can be portrayed in a very romantic, charming sort of way. But it's, read the opening of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And you see the conversation there where the man comes across Dr. Frankenstein and they're talking about all these high-minded ideas and these romantic ideologies and all this other kind of stuff that all sounds, you know, very appetizing to the intellect. But the reality is it's very destructive and very ruinous, because it's man trying to grasp at something apart from God, really man trying to usurp God's authority. That's the whole problem with it. And that's the problem with the French Revolution. The French Revolution was a very anti-God, anti-Christ movement. It stands in a stark contrast to the American Revolution that had happened right before. And what went on, brethren, was in France, the radicals there were really counterfeiting. I believe they were counterfeiting two things. They were counterfeiting the Great Reformation, and they were counterfeiting the American Revolution. But the American Revolution, which was really a continuation of the Protestant Reformation movements that happened all over Europe. And as Samuel Adams described it, he said that our forefathers leveled popery in the church. They dealt with popery in the church. He said it now stands for us to level the popery of politics. And popery, by which he meant man-made theology in the church and now man-made laws, etc., in the state that really deny the God-given rights of the people that we find in the scripture. That was the foundation of the American argument. The colonial revolutionary argument was about restoring the right and proper authority of God. And what they were doing was really resisting the lawlessness of King George III and the British Parliament, because Parliament was doing things that were illegal that the established laws between England and the American colonies had plainly set forth more than 100 years earlier. and they had been declared by previous kings who acknowledged them, etc. And now what was happening was Parliament was imposing laws upon the American colonies that they did not have the authority to do. They were overstepping the bounds of their authority. And King George was apparently, he was either behind it or he was going along with it, etc. There were all kinds of things that were being said by different voices from the times, but there's no question that what they were doing was violating the laws, the established laws that had been given. And so the revolution was really about taking up arms to enforce those laws against a lawless government, the Redcoats, the Redcoat government of England. That's what was happening. It was essentially, it's why the revolutionaries saw themselves as the followers of the example of men like Cromwell and the Puritans, because that's what Cromwell and the Puritans saw themselves doing. They were actually opposing lawlessness in government. Same thing that the prophets in the Old Testament did. Men like prophets like the prophet Elijah, when he confronted King Ahab, etc., confronted him for turning away from the commandments of God, turning away from God's law. So that's the difference. The French Revolution, however, was a very anti-God movement. And we're going to talk about some of the details of this, because the French Revolution really is the model for all of the radical leftist revolutions that happened from that time forward. And we're going to be looking at an article here, a really excellent article from Frontline Fellowship and Dr. Peter Hammond, who has written an article titled Bastille Day and Why Christians Should Not Celebrate the French Revolution. The French Revolution is often romanticized. And I believe there's a reason why it's romanticized somewhat in our education system, because what they've done in the education system, brethren, is they have set up what I call a trail of false breadcrumbs in the education system, where they lead people to believe, they're teaching our children, that the so-called Enlightenment, which ultimately brought about the French Revolution, that the so-called Enlightenment of Rousseau and Voltaire and this kind of thing, that this is what gave birth to freedom and the free world, which is absolute nonsense. Very important that we remember that argument is complete nonsense. They'll say, oh, but it put forth the Declaration of the Rights of Man in France. The Declaration of the Rights of Man in France was an imitation. They were simply trying to imitate the American Bill of Rights from the American Revolution and the English Bill of Rights that preceded that by about 100 years, going back to the Glorious Revolution of 1688. And the English Bill of Rights was published in 1688 or 1689, depending on which calendar you use. But anyway, so they've set this up to lead people to believe that the Enlightenment of Rousseau and Voltaire and so on is what led to the birth of freedom and freedom from tyranny and all this other kind of stuff. But it's nonsense. The reality is that the French Revolution set forth the pattern, the Enlightenment, the French Revolution set forth the pattern for ungodly leftist government that ultimately became social justice, socialism, and communism through the 19th century. All right, so let's make reference now to this article from Dr. Peter Hammond. Dr. Peter Hammond at Frontline Fellowship, who's published an excellent article called Bastille Day and Why Christians Should Not Celebrate the French Revolution. Now, Dr. Hammond says many things in this article. I'm going to read a few of the highlights that he talks about. He talks about the myth and the reality. He says, quote, "Much myth and romantic legend has been written on what some politicians would like the French Revolution to have been, but the reality was that the French Revolution was a monstrous horror. in the name of liberty, equality, fraternity, or death, over 40,000 people lost their heads to the guillotine. 300,000 people were publicly executed by firing squads, drownings, and other methods of mass murder, and ultimately, many millions died in the 25 years of war and upheavals that resulted. Okay? It was a monstrous horror. Now, that phrase, I remember hearing this from Dr. Hammond when I interviewed him a short time ago for our upcoming film on the true Christian history of America, which is what we were out of town filming, brethren. If I told you guys we're going to Philadelphia and then Washington, D.C., and we did, and we had a great time, and we got some great footage, great historic footage that you're going to see in the upcoming film. Anyway, when I interviewed Dr. Hammond, he talked about this motto from the French Revolution, liberty, equality, and fraternity. That's what is typically remembered. But what they did, what the French did, was they took the American motto from Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death, liberty or death, and they came in with their counterfeit was liberty, equality, fraternity, or death. Okay, so not just liberty or death, because really the French Revolution didn't really stand for liberty. But of course they said they did. In fact, in part of this article, Dr. Hammond talks about a woman who was being dragged to the guillotine. And as she was being taken to the guillotine, she turned and she looked at a statue that they had of the Lady Liberty. And she said, oh, Liberty, Liberty, what crimes, what horrible crimes have been committed in your name? Right before they cut her head off. So the whole concept of French liberty under the French Revolution was very, very different. But that word equality, we're seeing the use of the word equality in this modern Marxist movement with things like the homosexual movement and the incessant cry for equality for gays, equality for transgenders, equality for Muslims and all these other different groups, and demanding what they're calling equality. But what they're doing is they're declaring false equalities, and they're using these false equalities as a weapon to cause upheavals and divisions in society. Because you can always go around declaring that things are unequal. Anywhere you go, you could declare that things are unequal. You could look at any two people walking down the street and declare that there's inequality between them. And then say, the only way to solve this inequality is for me to take control. I'm going to control you two people, and I'm going to make sure that everything is equal between you. That's how it works. It's really just a weapon of totalitarianism in the hands of these leftist agitators. And one of the things we're going to discuss, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break, but when we come back, we are going to talk about the French Revolution and the origin of the left wing versus the right wing. That's where these terms were born, apparently, according to Dr. Hammond. And when you learn what their original meaning was, brethren, this is going to shock at least some of you. But we'll talk more about that when we come back. Right after this.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the Scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We're talking about the French Revolution and its impact on the modern socialist, Marxist, communist movement. And make no mistake, I think at this point, any cloak of concealment has been cast off as we're seeing the Antifa movements that are marching down the street, displaying signs and t-shirts and so on for socialism, and in some cases, outright communism. They have merged with the Islamic political Islam movement in the West, in America. We've seen that openly. You've had this woman now, Linda Sarsour, who has called for a jihad against President Trump, which right there, I mean, and then what happens? Linda Sarsour is seen at this meeting where she's calling for the jihad against President Trump. She's seen with the Muslim teacher Yasser Qadhi, who's been in the midst of all this controversy with James White and James White's interfaith interaction with Yasser Qadhi. And this is what Brannon over at Worldview Weekend has been talking about now for weeks. The fact that Yasser Qadhi is not just an Islamic theologian, he has connections to radical Islamic groups that are promoting jihad. Jihad in America and throughout the world. There's no question. This is why discernment is so important, brethren. Biblical discernment, that we have a biblical discernment about what's going on. And as I've said before on previous programs, interfaith is not biblical. And the kind of actions that we see in these interfaith movements, we have no parallels for anywhere in the scripture, either the Old Testament or the New. It's not something that God calls us to do. Not at all. To preach the gospel to unbelievers, of course. To preach the gospel to idolaters, yes, no question. But to call them to repentance and faith toward the true God and to renounce their false gods. And Allah, the God of Islam, is a false God. And it doesn't matter that they're going around telling everybody that Allah is somehow or other the same as the God of the Bible or whatever. All of that is nonsense, and any Bible-believing Christian ought to be able to see that and to declare it openly. But you don't find, just like we didn't find Elijah in the Old Testament sitting down to have interfaith dialogue with the prophets of Baal, not at all. That's not what Elijah did. And you don't find Jesus or the apostles engaging in that kind of interfaith dialogue, sitting around saying, well, go and meet with the priests of Apollo or Zeus or something and go sit down and see what you've got in common with them and see if you can start building dialogue and working together and all this other kind of stuff. That's just not at all what went on. And of course, this is what Islam wants because they're using that as a bridge to build Islamic Sharia and political Islam in the United States. That's what they want. And unfortunately, there are those, and it's not just James White, it's many others as well, who simply have abandoned biblical discernment in favor of very liberal ideas, unfortunately. But a lot of this comes from the what I call the false equalization movement, where you must treat all things equally, supposedly, that all things have to be handled in an equal manner. And so you have to give an equal place to Islam, just like with Christianity. And this is all part of this equalization argument comes right out of the French Revolution, which we've been talking about here today. Now, back to this article with Dr. Hammond. There's a couple of things I wanted to point out here. Well, here's a quote from Lord Acton in his lectures. Lord Acton, who was famous for the phrase that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So it says here, Lord Acton, in his lectures on the French Revolution, observed, quote, "The appalling thing in the French Revolution is not the tumult, but the design. Through all the fire and smoke, we perceive the evidence of calculating organization. The managers remain studiously concealed and masked, but there is no doubt about their presence from the first." End quote. So Lord Acton acknowledged that there were hidden powers at work behind the French Revolution. Now, I personally believe those powers came from the Jesuit order. No question about that. If you study the origins of the French Revolution, going to the University of Ingolstadt in Bavaria, there was a Jesuit university. That's where Adam Weishaupt began his Society of the Perfectibilists, and that's where many of these ideas were born. And then they basically took those ideas went into France, and France was to be the first to be overturned. Now, I believe that what was really going on was the Jesuits had been kicked out of countries all over Western Europe by both Protestant countries and Catholic countries. The Catholics had kicked the Jesuits out many times. The Catholics called for their expulsion because what they were doing quite often was unorthodox and heretical from a traditional Catholic perspective. So all of this reached a climax, and in 1773, the Pope, Clement, banished them, abolished the order, rather, abolished them with a perpetual decree, and they poisoned the Pope a year later. Nevertheless, the order was abolished in 1773, and I believe what they did was they reinvented themselves as a secular movement. They took the same principles of the Inquisition. This is something we talk about in our new audio CD on the Jesuits and Marxism. But what they did was they took the principles of the Inquisition, the principles of Thomas Aquinas, and the Inquisition and so on, and they repackaged them. But what they did now was they removed the presence of God, any mention of God, and the church. They abolished those elements, got rid of God and the church, and Christianity entirely. And now what they had was, in place of God, they put human reason. Okay? In place. And now human reason was going to be the God of this new movement. But it was still operating on the same principles of the Inquisition. That's what many people don't realize. But it was operating on those same principles, but now they had a weapon that they could use against Protestants, but also more immediate importance against their fellow Catholics who they felt had betrayed them and had banished them from their countries and had opposed their version of the Counter-Reformation. And so this is why I believe the Jesuits were the secret handlers that Lord Acton mentioned, and the French Revolution was really an act of revenge against the papacy and against the Catholic Church for having abolished the Jesuits back in 1773. That is my thesis on the issue. All right, now something that we talked about before we went to the break, something I mentioned, was the origin of the left wing. The origin of the left wing. This is from Dr. Hammond's article, and he's actually quoting from the book Fire in the Minds of Men by Dr. James Billington, a book that I've quoted a number of times in my documentaries and that I've mentioned on the program. Probably been a couple of years since I've mentioned it. But he describes the origin of the left wing. Dr. Hammond says, quote, "It was in the French Revolution that the terms left wing and right wing were first coined. Those on the left were the radicals who proudly adopted the designation as a symbol of their revolutionary defiance of Christian tradition, which always represented those on the right hand of God as saved and those on the left as damned." And he's quoting that from James Billington, Fire in the Minds of Men, Origin of the Revolutionary Faith. And of course, the point of origin is Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus describes his return and judgment day, where in verse 34 it says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Then in verse 41 it says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And it goes on from there. The battle lines could not be more clearly drawn, brethren. All right, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.